We'll ask you about that. Well, Jeff, welcome to the Swell. In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Campervans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 36 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Provo talking with Jeff Burlingham. Jeff is the founder and chairman of Peak Capital Partners and Peak Ventures, now Album BC. Peak Capital is a vertically integrated multifamily investment and management firm with conventional and affordable communities in growth markets across the United States. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy.
Jeff, welcome to the Swell Podcast, part of the Kiln Road Trip this week.
Happy to be here. Let's go. I love it.
Yeah.
Congrats, guys.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
So we'd love to ask you to just introduce yourself, your name, and what you do and what you're passionate about.
Oh, man. Dive in. Jeff Burlingham is my name. I'm passionate about mindfulness right now. I've been thinking, I ran for governor in the state of Utah in 2020. And so about 3 years ago, went out of the race, and a little longer than 3 years. And since then, I've been really diving into mindfulness, AI, technology. And I think that our job as humans, as the world continues to go down this AI path, is to lean into our humanity, to become more human.
What and makes
that
us
is
human.
Our that is our job. And so anyways, that's what I've been thinking a lot about.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I started a real estate investment firm with two partners called Peak Capital Partners. We own over $5 billion in multifamily real estate. Started a venture fund called Peak Ventures, now Album, that invested in most of the up and coming startups here in Utah, and then ran for governor and actually started a technology company as an undergrad at BYU, sold it to a NASDAQ listed firm. So that's ran for governor, lost.
Yeah.
And gratefully, kind of. And I'm now writing a book and teaching entrepreneurship at BYU and have a podcast.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff.
Well, that's incredible.
There's a lot of directions.
Exactly. So there's the 2 minute, whatever, take us wherever you guys want. I'm an open book. Yeah. Whatever you want to talk about, let's do it.
Yeah. I'm glad we started early because we might run a little long.
That's fine.
But
whatever you guys want.
Can I just ask, so going back to the AI and the mindfulness component, to lean into what it is that makes us human. I mean, I'm from what I can gather from what you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the AI evolution and inevitable, right? It will continue to explode, and leaning into what makes us human. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah, we can't outrun AI. Mm-hmm. We can't outsmart AI. AI never sleeps. AI doesn't need to, AI remembers everything that it reads. And so how do we bring our very best selves to partner with AI, to use it to enhance our life, to make life better for humanity? That's on my mind. That's kind of what my book is about. That's what I'm writing about, doing a lot of research on, thinking a lot about. And so, yeah, I think that becomes more and more our work to do, is to become more conscious, more present. And so, yeah, that's
what makes us human, the conscious, right?
It is, yeah. And like, you know, we have human technology that cannot be replicated, like emotions.
Right.
But we've got to be in touch with our emotions. We're embodied. But are we in our bodies? Are we feeling it? Do we sense it? Do we know it? These are things that differentiate us from AI and I think allow us to lean into our collective humanity. And, you know, again, wisely partner with AI, use AI as a tool to make humanity better, to make us better. Because it obviously can make us a lot worse if we let it. I mean, there's steps, I think, along the AI path that will be challenging to us and could pose real threats to who we are as humans and our unity together in it and love. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking about lately.
Yeah.
One last question. Yeah. I don't know how many, but one last question about like, what is there any, so based off the research that you're doing, the book that you're writing, is there anything that you are worried about?
Absolutely.
Oh, with gosh. With AI. Yeah.
I have felt so much, I don't know if it's just me. I don't think it's just me. I think there's a lot of people, but I don't know why my soul feel. I have felt so much existential dread around AI that's really where this comes from. Mm-hmm. That's where this stems from. So yeah, I think it kind of goes in three steps. I'm speaking very broadly.
Yeah.
One, displacement of jobs. That's right. Already happening. That's mm-hmm. going to continue mm-hmm. to happen. It's going to happen more and more. Again, as we have more time, maybe, what is our work as humans? It's to lean into our humanity. It's to become more conscious. So that's one. Two, obviously disinformation. It's increasingly difficult to parse truth, discern what is real and not real. That can obviously be a massive disruptor and cause a lot of chaos. It already is. Obviously, our social media feeds, the information and content that we are fed, that we absorb, that we look at, is already largely controlled by AI. And then the third step, and obviously the worst step, is that, you know, this technology down the road could be used in very destructive ways, in human destruction and war and challenge. And obviously that's not where we want to head. We want to go the opposite way and not towards that. So
yeah,
there's some thoughts.
And regarding the book, so you mentioned you're writing a book. When do you expect that to be complete? When do you expect it? Is it a long project?
Don't forget you got GPT now.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I can just type, it in and then it's done. No, but that's actually the opposite of what I can do.
Right.
Because I'm telling my very human story. Mm-hmm. It's a little memoir-ish, even though I'm 46 years old. I'm kind of at my half midlife. I'm telling some of my very human stories to remind us to lean into what makes us human, to lean into what makes us distinct. And so, I think that's all part of the process. In a startup, it's very easy to have goals, to have metrics, to gather data, to, you know, have plans. What I found in writing a book is it's a super creative process that cannot be rushed. It can't be pushed, especially when it's so personal, like my book is. So I have 250 pages, rough draft. It'll come out in the next year, but I don't know if it'll be 6 months. I don't know if it'll be a year from now, but it's a creative process that can't be rushed. I've been talking to your brother, Spencer Gregg, a little bit along the process. McEwen, he's a friend of mine. And it's not easy. I'm not a good writer. Like, my background isn't necessarily writing. That's one thing that I like to do. I like to continue to challenge myself. Mm-hmm. I like to climb new hills, and writing is certainly a new skill for me to try, a new craft for me to try to master, because I'm not naturally necessarily a good writer.
It seems like a lot of people that have written books weren't either.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
It took them massive amount of effort, that first one, and then they became a new skill for them.
Yep. Yeah.
It's interesting because I think, you know, I'm a big fan of, I love story, right? And I think leaning into story itself is, I think, a big part of what makes us human. But I think that's very fascinating that you're exploring that almost from a memoir perspective, which I think is incredible. I'm also interested too, it looks like you had a thought, but I'm also very interested in, like, through this process, you know, are you also learning, like, It forces you to kind of rethink or relearn from situations that you went through before, and you're reprocessing things. I'm wondering, what you're learning about yourself through this process as well.
Of course, so much.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a lot of things right in my life. I've been very blessed. I've done a lot of things wrong in my life. I've failed. I have 400 or so students at BYU that I teach entrepreneurship to, and I tell them that, you know, the favorite graph, you know, the favorite venture graph of any startup is straight up and to the right growth, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just not how any startup goes. The only thing I know for certain when someone pitches me, which I still meet with entrepreneurs daily, hear pitches. The only thing I know for sure is that what they're telling me and showing me is wrong. We just don't know how it's wrong. We don't know, you know, the waves. We don't know the ups and downs. No life either. Mm. No business and no life is straight and to the right.
Yeah.
There are bumps and waves. I'm sure you guys feel this all along the way. Now, hopefully we're trending up, but that's through a series of mountaintops and valleys and mountaintops and valleys. And so as I reflect on my life and the peaks I've scaled and the challenges I've had, I learn a ton. That's what my book is about.
Yeah.
It's about the lessons that I've learned that have been valuable in my growth and in leaning into being human, which it's a very personal work.
Mm.
Like each of us need to do this work. It's like a collective work because humanity needs to do it. But guess the way that that happens is that each of us does that hard personal work. And it's not easy, it's hard. We all have shadows or we all are wounded.
Yeah.
We're all wounded and in our unique ways. And so how do we overcome that and accept who we are, accept others and their wounds? And that's not easy. The rubber meets the road every day as you are with your family, you're with your loved ones, you're with your friends, you're with your business partners. How do you handle that?
Yeah. I'm excited to read this book.
Read it, bro.
Yeah I'm excited.
It'll be out. Look for it.
I will.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've, I mean, how have you learned some of these things that you're describing? Like, come from your family, your parents, like where, at what point,
yeah,
what are some of those lows that you've had that have really take, you know, got you to where you are today?
Well, I was very blessed to be born to two wounded parents. Mm. And I was blessed for two reasons. Number one, I had two parents. A lot of people don't. I have a mom and dad that tried their best. I'm a father now of four. What else can we expect from our parents except to just do their best?
Yeah.
Which is always flawed. Mm. It's never perfect.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful to have two parents. Number one, that were committed and to being good mom and dad. The second thing is, because of their wounds, or partly and largely because of their wounds, I was wounded myself. So what that provides me and provides all of us is an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to lean into that, and an opportunity to become our true self. So certainly my background in growing up, just like all of us, was fodder for a lot of, when I was a quarterback in high school, a point guard, my life growing up, you can tell by the Jordans, was about, yeah. First of all, I'm a kid of the 80s and 90s. Second of all, I love basketball, love football. And so I learned a lot from team sports. It's way better to win as a team, in my opinion. That's why at Peak Ventures and then at Album, we try to invest in the very best up and coming teams. Yeah. Like this, I'm grateful to be an investor in Kiln.
Yeah.
Like Kiln. And so, and then the business successes and highs and lows, you know, partnerships that worked out pristinely and perfectly. It's just so nice. And then partnerships that have not worked out so well. So yeah, I've learned a ton. I don't know. You got to direct me a little more if you
want. No, it's okay.
I'm interested to know your thoughts on Kiln.
Yeah.
You know, as an investor into Kiln, like, yeah, what do you think about Kiln?
I mean, first of all, I'm a massive proponent of entrepreneurship in Utah. I think I've invested in close to 200 startups in Utah. I don't think there's any investor in the state that's been as active as me and my partners, Jeff Danley and Jamie Dunn, and kind of angel investing and then institutional venture investing. And now back to kind of family office investing. So I'm a huge proponent. And so anything that is bolstering entrepreneurship, like Kiln,
yeah,
I love and cool. I want to support. And I've spoken at the Kiln in Salt Lake City, the Gateway, a couple times, two or three or four times, I don't know. And just walking in today, I just ran in a minute ago. Dude, it just feels good in here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I see people meeting in the conference room. I saw something about veterans, which is really cool. I assume that's a business and or a service. Smells good in here. Mm-hmm. Feels good in here.
Yeah.
Everything about it is cool. So I'm bullish on Kiln, obviously, as an investor. I'm bullish in terms of the need for co-working space. Certainly, we're sitting in Provo, so certainly in Provo, Utah, which in my opinion is one of the startup capitals of the world.
Yeah.
So many companies start here and they graduate or move to Lehigh or Salt Lake or even the Bay Area. But so much starts here in Provo. And I'm grateful to live in a city like that where it's where you get your start.
Yeah. Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say, once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer Swell in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com. Book a tour and be sure to mention Swell in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Moterra Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Moterra Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Moterra instead. With 3 van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps 4 and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Moterra offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomoterra.com/swell. That's gomoterra.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
We interviewed Ryan Smith, and of course, he's just one of many, but has a strong vision for, for starting things in Provo.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so what do you think about the future of entrepreneurship in Utah Valley itself? And where do you see us going?
Yeah, I think the one of the reasons that I ran for governor is I don't have a background in politics. I'm not a politician. I was with the governor quite a bit last week. My heart goes out to him. That is not an easy job. Mm-hmm. I remember going to his inauguration. It was at TuaCon in St. George because it was COVID, January of 2021. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His inauguration. And man, my wife Sally and I going into TuaCon, and about a mile out, there's like picketers or signs on every side. You know, we love you, Spencer. We hate you. This, that. It is so, our politics obviously are a leading indicator of maybe where we're at as a society. It's not a pretty picture. And so Sorry, did I forget your question? Where were we headed?
The future.
So yeah, one of the reasons I ran for governor is because I felt like I had, because I was the first investor in so many of these startups.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go up I-15 and Pura, Podium, Weave, Pattern, Taxbit, Divi, MX, Owlet.
Mm-hmm.
You know these companies. I was the first investor in almost all those companies. I thought I had a unique perspective of the growth that's come in Utah. So I'm massively bullish. I think the best decade is ahead of us.
Yeah.
I think Ryan's doing a great job with the Jazz and of course with Qualtrics still. And like there have been a lot of pioneers that have gone out there and paved the way. And so I mean, I really can't like say how bullish I am. I'm super bullish. Mm-hmm. There's been a ton of growth so far, but I think the best is even yet to come.
Just scratching the surface, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
In a way, but it is a pioneer state, right?
Yeah.
You're just getting going.
You're bootstrapping pioneer state. That's right.
So I know time has flown by. This is ridiculous. We're used to doing an hour and a half interview.
Yeah.
I know someone's already waiting outside, but.
Is that Darren?
I think so.
He can wait. No, just kidding. There's another kind of venture guy. There's an operator turned venture guy. So it'll be interesting to.
Yeah.
Are these airing back to back?
Likely. They will come out day after day.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what he says.
I was going
to
ask you the last question.
Yeah.
Unless you have another one after that. It was really about what advice you would give to up and coming. Well, actually, it could be anyone, but someone that's trying to create a movement, trying to create something that never existed before.
Mm.
What would your advice be from your experience?
Yeah, first of all, tune into your body. Be present. What feels alive to you? Mm. You really can't start a movement if you don't feel it in your bones.
Mm-hmm.
If Arian didn't feel kiln in his bones, we wouldn't be sitting in this
space.
Yeah, we wouldn't be sitting in this space. So I guess the first thing is make sure you're building the movement you really want. And that's an iterative process. That's an expansion process. That's a learning process. So number one, be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Number two, the best teams almost always win. There are upsets sometimes in sports, in politics, and whatever. But usually the best teams win. And none of us have gotten to where we're at alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. None of us are here alone. So it's about building a team. It's about building a winning team. So I would be true to yourself and then rally the people that you need. There is no way that I could have succeeded in the fashion that I have without wonderful partners. We have nearly 1,000 employees at Peak Capital and our management company, Peak Living. We don't do anything alone. So make sure you bring the right people with you and that you find the right people that are passionate about the cause and have a bias towards action. Yeah. I think if there's anything, again, having heard thousands of pitches, having invested in hundreds of companies, the only maybe I've invested in every type of entrepreneur, old, every gender, everything. One common thread that I would maybe point out, they have a bias towards action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who wants to be about it instead of talking about it?
Yeah.
Like, let's be about doing the work. And those are the type of people I like to surround myself with.
That's great. So you're just getting things moving.
Yeah. Right? Well, and rallying the troops to kind of help you because nothing cool
can't be
happens
done
alone. Yeah, nothing. You can tell whatever.
Writing a good book?
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, but not really because I have an editor Santa Fe, New Mexico, who's helping me through the process. I'll have a developmental editor after that. I have, you know, Greg McEwen, Joseph Grenny, Thomas McConkie, friends that are New York Times bestselling authors that are mentoring me, giving me advice, guiding me softly through the process. And so even then, I think it's a group effort.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was a fantastic interview.
Time's just flown.
I would love.
That's easy.
I think we would love to have you back though. Maybe when the book
long
is out.
Form.
Yeah. We talk about the book.
Let's do it. I'd be happy to come back. Obviously, I'll be on the. I've had several great. Like, yeah, I'll have several podcasts going when it happens. And again, it's going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months. So I'm happy to come back. Keep my information and hit me up when when you guys want to talk longer form.
Yeah, an hour and a half.
This was nice though, because the podcast I just did right before I came here was like an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. And it was good though. Different.
Yeah. This was fantastic though. This was fun and we really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Jeff. Good to meet you guys. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, @TheSwellPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.